See, many times we wait until God opened the door for us before we praise Him. So to keep that in mind, and I know some of you are still waiting to hear the rest of the story. And last night something happened, right? Anybody remember what happened last night? Oh, man. Some of you guys got it done fast. Okay, the last time we stopped in my life story of my wife left and went back to the island of Trinidad. Someone asked today, where's Trinidad? And I'll kind of help you again to think of the chain of islands, starting all the way from Jamaica. But you have Haiti and Jamaica. And the chain of islands go down to Caribbean islands. Some people say it's like stepping stones for a giant. Small islands. Islands with 200,000 people. You have St. Lucia, St. Kitts, Nevis, Anguilla, Dominica, Barbados, Grenada. And the last one is Trinidad. Right after Trinidad, 7 miles from the coast of Trinidad, is South America, which is Venezuela. We're 7 miles from Venezuela. We can see some of our good friends over there. What's his name? Chavez, some of our good friends. Because we're Christian, we don't have enemies, right? So some of our good friends on the other side of the water is not too far away. We don't speak Spanish, we speak English. There were some people that speak a different language, the Carib and the Arawak, but that was before Columbus times. So get a little idea of that. So my wife went back to the island, and I told you something happened. Two things happened. One was good, and one was not. The good thing was she called me, and she said she's pregnant. Now, by then, we had 4 daughters. Remember, the first one died, so we had 3 daughters left. One was 2 years old, one was 5, and one was 10. They were all going to move back up, well, come up with my wife. So she was pregnant. Later on, we found out it was my first son. So if you had 4 girls and no boys, don't give up. Just keep, you know, keep believing, and it could happen. But anyway. So the bad thing was, because of sin in my life, I moved in with a woman. It was called Harlem up in Manhattan, living with her while my wife is back in the island. That's what sin does. You know, sin brings us down to the... Here my wife was pregnant, and this is what I was doing. I was blind, and I was being led by Satan. I also was led by my flesh. I had responsibility too. The main time we want to give all the prayers to Satan. But I think sometimes in our own flesh, we desire things. Well, about 4 months later, she packed up and resigned her position and job and everything else. Got a couple of the girls and came up. Came back to the U.S. That day she came up, I broke my relationship off with the young lady I was living with. Came back, met my wife, like nothing was happening. But she figured something was going on. God gives women some sort of a something. But she knew something was happening. She didn't know all what was happening, but she knew something was going on. I didn't tell anything. Matter of fact, she kind of tracked me down one day. I didn't even know. She showed me some pictures one day. And I found out, where you got those pictures from? I told her I destroyed all. Well, she found the negatives. Took her to the pharmacy and got it developed and saw the pictures of me and this young lady. Well, she moved up to the U.S. and now I told you that she were a Christian. One of the things I didn't tell you is that about 33 years ago, when my second daughter was born, I got involved in a group called Rastafarians. If you've ever been to the Caribbean Islands, you have long, called dreadlocks. They don't comb their hair. The women cover their whole head and they wear dresses. And they live out mostly in the bushy areas. They read the Bible and smoke marijuana at the same time. Some people say that's an oxymoron. Well, they believe when you smoke the marijuana, your mind or your brain opens up and then you absorb the word. They call it the herb was the healing of the nation. They like reggae music. If you ever know anything about reggae music, Bob Marley and things like that. So I had liked that kind of stuff. So I got involved with them over 30 years ago. And one of the things they don't do is eat meat. They do not eat meat. No kind of meat, no eggs, no fish, nothing like the sort. So I started eating meat and eggs and fish, no cakes, no pastries. And I did that for a while. One of the problems I had was the dreadlocks. See, I always like to smell good and look clean. And growing up as a young man, even when I was young and didn't have much clothes, and my clothes might have been ripped and stuff, I always try to look clean. So I couldn't grow the dreadlocks on the outside. So I told them I could grow it on the inside. You can see it's still growing. It's growing on the inside. And it's getting longer and longer, but you can't see it. But anyway, so I got involved with that cult. It's not a religion, it's not a Christian group. They've distorted the Bible in many ways. One of the worst ways is, they said, that the Emperor Haile Selassie, he was the Emperor of Ethiopia about 25 years ago or 30 years ago. They believe he was Christ reincarnated, because they believe that the Bible says that Christ was going to come out of Ethiopia. And he was the king of Judah. He was a lion of Judah. And Selassie had lions in his palace. So there was a lot of distortion. So up to this day, I don't eat meat. Now, I don't eat meat because of that reason. I got off of that. But once I was away from meat for a long time, it was hard for me to go back. So some of you who didn't know before, but I started eating fish about 15 years ago. I know I eat egg products. I eat cakes and stuff like that. For many years, I never ate any cake. About two weeks ago, I was in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. And I tried eating egg, what is called a toast, French toast. It had eggs on it, and it just wouldn't go down. It felt like rubber after all this time. I don't know. It's just that the smell of it also sort of a... But I cook it. I cook anything from curry, from chicken, beef, goat. A lady today was a little annoyed at my goat discussion, but... 2 weeks ago, I cooked some curry goat in somewhere in Pennsylvania. And my wife wasn't along, so I don't taste the food. So I asked this woman, could you taste this piece of meat and see if it has enough salt and is it soft enough? Because goat can take like 3 hours to really cook well. We get an old goat. And I'm not referring to anyone here now. But so she tasted it. She said, it tastes great. It has got spices. Everything is great. And as she walked over, I said, you know what it was, right? She said, no. I said, goat. And that changed her appearance. I had to remind her, this goat is dead. There's nothing it can do to you. But she thought it was good until she heard it was goat. I have many people who did that before. Anyway, so that's why I don't eat meat. So it's nothing religious. It's nothing health-wise. It's just I haven't come back to that place yet. Maybe someday. My daughters always said, Dad, whenever you eat meat for the first time, promise us that, that we will be there. Because they never saw me eat meat. When my second daughter was born, I stopped. So that's over 20-something years ago. So I've never had a Big Mac and a Whopper and all these good things. Never tasted some of the stuff in New York and other parts of the U.S. Anyway, back to the story. You can tell the story is coming really close to the end because I got saved in New York. Well, my wife was saved, so she decided, well, you know... He was afraid to go to church in New York because there was a lot of cults. It was the Jim Jones that took people down to Guyana and killed a whole lot of them. There was the parish who believed, you know, there was all these things happening to Jimmy Swaggart and everything else. So she decided she'd watch Christian TV. So she watched Christian TV, and that's where she got her spiritual things. And I didn't care because she was there and I was going out partying and drinking and smoking and everything else. Until one day, she was in a train station. And while in the train station, she met a man that was giving out tracts. And on Sunday, I'll talk a little bit more about that, about the reason that we are saved. This man was saved and he was doing what God has called him to do, to be a witness. And this man was giving tracts and selling Bibles in the subway in New York City. And my wife stopped for a while and she thought, well, if I would buy this Bible... That she heard about this new Bible called the NIV, because back in the islands we only had the King James. But she heard about this NIV, it's an easier translation to understand. If I would buy him this Bible, he would read it and he might get saved. So she asked the man if he had a Bible called NIV. And he says, well, I don't have one now, but I can get you one. If you give me your phone number, your address, your name, I'll get you one and bring it to your house. So she did that. But as she walked away, she thought to herself, I give a man in New York City my number, my phone number, my address, and my name, and I don't know him. And she prayed that God will allow this man to lose it. But he didn't lose the number. As a matter of fact, a couple of days, he came to the door. He rang the bell. Came out. She talked with him, and he brought another lady from the church. And they invited her to come to church. But something happened. Whenever you hear something happen, you know what happens, right? To be continued. Something happened that changed my direction, my life, her life. And it wasn't that I got saved. Something else happened. There was a process. Well, let's get into the Word of God. As I said to you, tonight I want to look at praise. On the first night, Monday night, we talked about God's love. His love is everlasting. His love is unconditional. There's nothing you can do to let God love you more. There's nothing you can do that could make God love you less. God loves you because He's love, and there's nothing else He would do but love you. He loves you with everlasting love. And how long is everlasting? It's going on and on and on and on and on. And even while you were yet sinners, even while yet I was in sin, even yet when Saul was killing Christians, God loved him. We talked about love and separation of sin. God don't love the sin, but He loves the person. God don't love the homosexual sin in sin, but He loves the person. God didn't love the fact that Paul was killing Christians. God loved Paul so much, or Saul as we knew him back then, that He brought him out of that lifestyle. He did the same for me, and I believe He would have done the same for you. Then we talked about forgiveness that night, that next night. God loved us, and He forgave us. And He forgave us all the sins that we have committed. If we repent of our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talk about forgiveness. And the reason why He loves us is so that we can love others. The reason why He forgave us is so we could forgive others. We could forgive them while they're still bitter and hatred and jealous towards us. And we talked on Wednesday, what's today? It's Friday. On Wednesday, what was it about? Commitment. And was He committed? Was Jesus committed? He was committed all the way to the cross. Didn't stop halfway. And He desired the same for us. That we also would be committed all the way. Not halfway, but all the way. And then last time we talked about some of the stumbling blocks we find in life. One of it is listening to the wrong people. Listen to the false prophets. Listen to people who add on to God's word and tell you, you've got to do it this way because of tradition, because of what the bishop said. Or the next group who says, no, you don't have to do anything at all because it's all grace. It's all love. And that is true. There is grace and there is love. But God is also a God that is holy. We saw a man that listened to an old prophet rather than listen to God. And what happened to him? Tonight I want to look at a different story. Open your Bible to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I told you, I think on Tuesday night, that for the first 3 nights I would be doing topical preaching where it was a topic. Tonight we will stay in one chapter. We refer to other verses, but we're going to stay in one chapter. And we'll have what you call expository preaching, where we look at this whole chapter and see what is it saying to us tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, I know if I said 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, we all would have known that. My people that are called by my name will humble themselves. And we talked about that last night. But tonight we want to talk about chapter 20. And I want to just look at a story here. Last night we looked at a story that started well. but didn't end well. This story didn't start well, but it had a good finish. Verse 1, chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. And it goes like this. It came to pass after this. Let's stop right there, right now, and say, what is this? This he was talking about. It means there was something was happening. Turn back to chapter 19. And look at verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Sheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he sets up judges in the land. Let me just tell you what's happening. You can continue looking at that. But I want to tell you what's happening. Jehoshaphat started putting the house in order. He started putting the house in order. He started saying, okay, listen, we got to come back to God. A powerful movement had started. He said, we're going to put some judges in places. And the judges is going to judge that according to the people, but he's going to judge according to God's word. So Jehoshaphat was putting things in order. And you and I may start working in the Lord, and we're working in the church, and we're working in our communities. And we're putting our house in order. We are getting rid of some of the filth and some of the things that hinders us. And then something happens. Look what happened. As he had done this, let's go back to chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now what's happening? Things are being placed in order. Not one, not two, but three armies were coming against Jehoshaphat. How could you relate to that? Well, sometimes not one, not two, not three. Things starts coming against you. For instance, some of us that are older can tell you sometimes we go to the doctor. And he says, well, I think your blood sugar is kind of high. And the cholesterol, the good one looks kind of, the good one is too low and the bad one is too high. Kind of opposite. And your blood pressure, you got to stable a little bit. And not one bad news, not two, not sometimes three, sometimes four. Bad news come. Or in another case, your son or daughter might start acting rebellious. And just when they start acting up, the husband starts acting up, or the wife starts acting up, or there's problems in the church, or there's problems on the job. And not one, not two, sometimes three problems at one time. What do we do when this happens? When the enemy is coming against us, now we start putting the house in order. Things are starting to come together, and all of a sudden, problem. Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is El Jadai. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now if it had stopped there, problem would really be worse. When you and I see the enemy come, if we now there are times we'd get fear would come in, but we got to remember God has not given us a spirit of fear but of power. See, fear would come. That's our human instinct. When we hear a bad news, just yesterday I heard some news that wasn't too good, and I think Sunday morning or maybe tomorrow, however God leads, I want to share a story with you of a battle I've been going through. But I believe and I know that God has everything in control. But I feared for a little bit, was maybe about less than a minute or so, as I was driving in Lancaster. And then after my wife told me, then I had to call her back and say, listen, this is only the enemy. And she says, oh, I already realized that too. Jehoshaphat feared, but look at the next, the rest, and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. He set himself to seek the Lord. When problems come, we find ourselves many times running away from God. instead of running to Him. In Isaiah, the fourth chapter says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. Where was He? He was in the temple. When the king died, and that king was a better king than most kings, he was a friend of Isaiah. And when he died, after almost 60 years of ruling, Isaiah found himself in the temple. He found himself in the presence of God. And we know the rest. When he saw the God sitting on the throne, and he realized that his lips were of sin and all that stuff. And there was a change in his life later on. Not only did he set himself, but he called a fast. Now, I was saying, where I had supper tonight, there was a feast. And I said, wow, you know, it's something else, you know. Here we're having a feast now, I'm going to be talking about fasting tonight. I love to feast. I love to eat. I love to drink. Fasting is one of the things that sort of stretched me sometimes. But the time I had the most victory in my life was the time I fasted the most. Fasting is not twisting God's arm. It's just saying, God, I just want to surrender whatever it is. I want to give it to You. I want to be able to hear from You, Lord. I want to give up so I can receive from You. I want to die to the flesh so that I can receive in the Spirit. Jehoshaphat called a fast. Now I want you to look at this. This was not only Jehoshaphat fasting. Jehoshaphat in verse 4, and Jehoshaphat gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Sometimes we think the church leaders need to fast for the church. Sometimes we think it's the dads alone that's supposed to fast for the family. But I'm telling you, God is calling us all to come together. When the enemy comes against the church, there should be a fast that is called for all the people, even the children. See, we think fasting has to be something where you have to be for 4 or 5 days, you know, I'm walking around, oh, look at me. No, you can refrain from things. In the book of Daniel, it tells us about a different kind of fast. Daniel fasted. He ate, but he ate no meat, no choice food. There are times when we could give up certain things. When we live in New Jersey, and I'm jumping ahead of my story, but when we live in New Jersey, we lived there for 7 years. And the church in New York asked us if we'll come back to New York and be part of leadership. And I didn't want to go back to New York. I love where I was living. 2 acres of land, a house by itself, you know. We had a lot of ministry things happening. I was involved in all kind of church, from the Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, the Nazarene Church, the First Baptist, Second Baptist. I was doing all kind of stuff with them. I felt great ministry here. But somehow I felt there were some things I couldn't get along with because it was not scriptural. So I decided, you know, I need to give up that. So I started going back to New York. 2.5 hours one way to church on a Sunday. And when they asked if we'd come back, we decided to start fasting. And one day, we called a fast with our children. We said, for the next 21 days, there is no dessert, no seconds, no meat. That didn't bother me, but I started eating fish. So no fish for me. And there were a couple of things we said we're not going to do. The big one was no television. We had a television at the time. 21 days. Get rid of all that stuff and other things. And we spend more time praying together. See, fasting is not skipping a meal. See, fasting is not, well, today I'm fasting, so I wouldn't eat, but I'll continue working. No, the time that I was supposed to be eating, that's the time I'll be praying now. So we decided to do that, and we did that. After 21 days, we said, did God give us an indication whether to go back to New York or not? And we sat down, and well, we didn't get any clear call. And then I asked my children, is there anything you sense from God? Well, we don't need a television anymore. Look, for the last 21 days, we didn't have one. See, God was preparing us because to whom much is given, much is required. God was preparing us to go back to New York, but we need to get rid of some things that would be an obstacle in my way. And reaching God and God reaching me. Just then, A man, a friend of ours, 3 weeks later, after we gave up our television, called and says he just got evicted and he'd like to leave some stuff at our house. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five televisions in my basement. I could have put one in each bedroom, one in the bathroom, and one in the kitchen. I'm just telling you how the enemy comes. Here we was getting victory from one thing, and all of a sudden, we had all this television. And we said, no, we don't really need it. We spend more time as a family. We spend more time praying. Some of the movies I was looking at, I was telling my daughters about courting and not running around. And I was looking at movies week after week, girls going, you know, they wasn't going all the way, or they were going half the way, and some was doing it. I was teaching them one thing, but we were watching something else and laughing. So you proclaim a fast. I'm just here to encourage you. Take some time to fast and pray. Situation comes in your life. Just take some time. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us at one time when the disciples ask him this demon, this sickness or whatever it was. We can't seem to get rid of it. And he says, some comes out only with prayer and fasting. He added a thing called fasting into it. So there's power in there. So Judah gathered himself together. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers. Now, I want you to listen to the prayer. And that's why I say fasting and praying goes hand in hand. He didn't just say, okay, all people, we're not going to eat. He started praying. And he started speaking to God. And here he says to God, O God of our fathers, are not thou the God in heaven? He put God in his perspective. The God of the heavens, the God of creation. You see, if we could understand how big our God is, how great and mighty and awesome that God is, that loves little me. That God that chose me to be here tonight. That God that chose you to live another day. That God that woke you up this morning. It wasn't the alarm clock. Because the alarm clock could have gone on and on and on and on. And you would have been on the next land. In another place. He says, oh, the God of heaven. The one that ruleth over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And in thy hand there is power and might. So that there is none could withstand you. When we get a view of this God. See, sometimes we put God in a little box there that God could do this. And this is his limit. But Jehoshaphat said, the God who rules all nations. The God who has power in his hand so that there is none. None at all could defy him. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow. Muslim, Jew, Protestant, Catholic, Hindus, Buddhists, every knee will bow in the name of Jesus Christ. The sickness, the poverty, the rebellion, every name on this earth will bow in the name of Jesus Christ. Art not thou, verse 7, art not thou, O God, who did drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend? Aren't you the God who blessed us? When you think of how God has blessed you in the past, many of us here, well, I shouldn't say us, I'll take myself out of this one. Many of you tonight don't realize the blessing you have had in growing up in a Christian home. Many of you do not realize how blessed you are that as from a young child you had a father and a mother praying for you, interceding for you, grandparents praying for you, guiding you into the right direction. That's a blessing. That's not a curse. Many have not realized the ease and comfort you have grown up in. Many of you have not realized how God has prepared a way for you. And then verse 8. And they dwell therein and have built there a sanctuary therein for the name, saying, If when evil cometh against us, as the sword and the judgment and the pestilence and the famine, we stand before this house and in the presence, for thy name is in the house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear us and he will help. When we cry out to God, he hears us and he helps us. That should give us all the reason why we should give him praise. That should give us every reason why we should not be ashamed to stand up in church and tell others what God has done. Because your testimony of what God has done in your life is saying that what God says in his word he will do, he is doing it right now and has just done it. It's a living word. It's the word of God coming alive in your life and will be an encouragement for someone else that is going through something that you may be going through at this time. And when you hear what God has done for this person, he could do it for me too. I'm not alone. Now verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammonites and the Moabs and Mount Zion, whom thou would have not let us invade Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. What he's saying here, okay, there was one time, God, we could have destroyed them. We could have got rid of the enemy. And we would have never had this problem today. And then if we never had this problem today, we'd never have to come to you. I believe God allows some things to come to us so we could come back to him. If you had all the money and all the luxury and all the health in life, how much would you think of God? When's the time you hear God spoken the most? In the hospitals, at funerals, places and times. When was the government of this country stood up and said, let's pray, God bless America. America, pray. It was 9/11 when disaster strike. All the time we was living peaceful and everything was going well. We never heard pray. Once destruction came, all of a sudden, from the president down, there were prayer meetings in government buildings. There were prayer meetings in the city halls. There were prayer meetings all over. The fear came to the people. They said, let us pray for protection. And I believe that's why God allowed the Israelites not to destroy the people. Later on, they came back and they said, wait a minute, if we had destroyed them, we wouldn't have that problem. If you never got sick and you never had a problem, if your children never left home, you'd never pray for them to come back. Verse 12, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might. We have no strength. There come a times when there is nothing we can do. We have come to the place where we have tried everything. We have no might against them. For there's great company that come against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Never take your eyes off of the Lord. Peter had the best victory ever. The only man besides Jesus that walked on water was Peter. We could laugh at Peter, but we never did it. He walked on water. From the time he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the circumstances around him, that's when he started sinking. That's when we start sinking, when we take our eyes off of him. And then in verse 13, and all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. They all came together. They banded together. God wants us as a church. God wants us as believers to come together. There is strength when there's unity. When we start dividing all over the place, it's easy for the enemy to get us. It's easy for him to pick us off. When we start pulling and pulling this way and pulling that way. And you know, churches today, there is so much of me. See, I want what I want. Doesn't matter what God wants. I don't say it, but I live that way. See, I want what I want. It's in my interest. And if I don't get it, I'll go somewhere else where they will give it to me. Whatever I want, I'll get it. Then, after the prayer was offered up, the sacrifice was made of fasting. Then upon Jehiziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Eel, of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. When we seek God and we pray and we fast and we call on His name, He comes in the midst of the congregation. And sometimes, not all the time, He speaks to the pastors. Sometimes He speaks to someone else in the church. And sometimes we're sitting there and we know God says to us to say this, to get up and give a testimony, to get up and give a word of encouragement. And we sit there, and while we're sitting there, we're just agreeing with Satan. What we are doing by not standing up and speaking, we agree with Satan. And we should not say anything. And then we say, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to look strange. This wasn't Jehoshaphat standing up now. This wasn't the king. This was another man. A man who had the gift of a prophet. And then he has different gifts in the church. We have different gifts. Some have the gift of encouragement. Some people could just encourage you. Some have the gift of blessing others in giving. Some have blessing others in praying. They could be on their knees for 4 hours straight. Some have a gift of encouragement. They could just encourage. And we all need to come together and work together in the Church of Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation, it was 15, and the prophet says, "Hark ye, you all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismay, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's." When we come together and we pray, we could give it, whether it be in a family, whether it be on the job, whether it be in school, whether it be in church, wherever it is, when we come together, we seek the Lord. He says, the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come by the way of the cliff of Zig, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. He says, I want you to go tomorrow. Now tomorrow, the enemy is still coming. Tomorrow, in the physical, it looks like defeat. Tomorrow in the physical, it looks like there is no way I could win this battle. And that is true. You can't win the battle because the battle is not yours. Trust in the Lord. It says, Abraham believed by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Abraham believed and it was accredited to him. He believed what God says. The Bible says, if we believe, we shall receive. But many times we say we believe, but then the enemy comes and whispers in our ears, don't really think this is going to happen. Look what's happening. Look at the giant that is coming before you. Verse 17, we shall not need to fight in this battle. That doesn't sound natural. But so many times you could only see in the natural because we're not in the spirit. So all you could see is the physical. The woman at the well. All she could have seen was physical water. She couldn't understand this living water, this spiritual water. The same way here. It says, you will not have to fight in the battle. But the enemy is coming. We tell us to go. They will kill us. We don't stand a chance. Set yourself, stand, and be still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Church, tonight I want to encourage you that as you seek the Lord for whatever problem, whatever circumstances you may be going through, as a people, as an individual, as a church, as a community, if you seek the Lord, He says, I will be with you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you till the end of the earth. And Jehoshaphat, when he heard those words, he bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping him. But wait a minute. There was no battle. There was no victory. We haven't seen anything. The enemy is still coming. The doctor says I still have cancer. The stock market says that everything is in disarray. The president is doing what he wants. And in many states, the homosexuals are getting married. All this is defeat. What will we do? If my people are called by my name, we'll pray. Turn from the wicked ways. If they would humble themselves, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and I'll heal the land. And the Levites, and the children of the Cushites, and the children of the Korites stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with, what kind of voice? With a loud voice. See, on a Baptist church, we can't speak too loud in church because, you know, you might wake up God. We can't even laugh in church. I'm in a church where it's so sad, I wonder if that's God, then where did I get humor from? Where did I get his joy from? Where did I get laughter from? Sometimes we act like God don't have a sense of humor. You look at me, you could tell God have a sense of humor. And if you're laughing, look at yourself. God has to have a sense of humor. I was in one church one time, I went up to preach. And I looked at the men, and they looked so sad. I thought it was a funeral. I looked at the ladies, and they had a little more smile on their face. And I said, well, forget you guys, I'm going to preach to the ladies today. Because I ain't with you guys. I normally have a joke sometimes. No joke today, because these people ain't going to like that. But you know, God is so great. As I started preaching to the women, somewhere in the back, I sat here, and amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Oh, man, we got to come over here and preach too. Just God just gave a word of encouragement. I know everybody kind of loosened up a little bit. You know, first they didn't know what to expect from this black man from New York City, first generation Mennonite. Trying to figure it out. Praise the Lord. And the people praised the Lord in a loud voice. Now when you understand something, worshiping, now remember they bow down, right? And they worship. Worshiping, you don't have to say a word. You just sit there and you could worship the God without a word. But you can't do that with praise. Look at the Bible and show me people praising God silently. Praise is an action word. It's a word where I speak. I get up and I say, God, I thank you for what you have done. Worship, I stay quietly. And just in the spirit, I just groan in the spirit. And I just speak to God. But praise is action. Praise is me getting up. And when I speak, it's like if I say, you know, I'm staying at James' cabin, right? Now, I appreciate I'm staying there. But if I just kind of watch him and... Does he really know if I really am thankful for allowing me to stay there? I had some good meals from each one of you. If when we have done eating, I just look like you and like... Well, he was thankful. All he did was he just kind of smiled at me, you know? And he walked out of the house, never said thanks. But when I say, I thank you for the food, this was wonderful. I'm praising you for what you did. So I'm speaking. But if I just stay quiet, how would you know? And that's the same. No, God is not deaf. But when I praise God loud, what I'm doing, I'm saying what God did. Somebody else here, wow. And look what God just did for him. He could do the same for me. I tell a cousin one time, the last three vehicles we have, we didn't buy them. We just needed a vehicle. God supply. And she's not a Christian. When she hears, she's like, I want to come to your church. Well, my church didn't give me the van. God did. So you got to go to God. When we praise the Lord, when we stand up in church, I just pray that more churches would have men and women that would stand up on Sunday and just give God praise. So that others could be encouraged. You don't know, when you praise God, God used that to encourage someone else that may be going through a tough time. Like your brother just saw early on that stood up and says, you know, how God, where God brought him from. Wow. Someone stand up and say, you know, I praise God, you know, I was suffering, you know, struggling with pornography or whatever, and God delivered me. Oh. Maybe I could do the same in prayer. God could do that for me too. You know, I was sick. You know, my son ran away from, whatever it is. I just praise God. I woke up this morning. Many times we want to see the end results before we get up and praise God. I was in one church, and I was getting ready to preach on praising God, and the guy came up and he said, okay, let's get all your prayer requests. Everybody, prayer requests? All right, let's pray. I sat there and said, wow, that's interesting. Every week we have a long prayer list of asking God, but nobody giving God praise. So did God do anything? We had 10 prayer requests last week. Did he answer any? Well, he answered about 5, yes. Well, so is somebody going to say something? No, just add 5 more onto it. Never give God praise. Somehow I wonder, if God was like man, what would have happened to us? And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites, verse 20 now. And they rose up early the next morning. Now with me, I would have wanted to delay it a little bit. Because wait a minute, this guy is talking about go out there after I sleep on it. Now I get up now, this is different, this is a new day. All of a sudden, wait a minute, he's talking about us to go out there. The three armies coming. In my natural, I go back. But it says, early the next morning, they went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and he said, now the leaders is going to reassure the people. The fathers is going to reassure the family. The man is going to reassure the community that God is with us. It says, and he says, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. We prosper when we believe that God is able and will do what he said he will do. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. Now when you read that, that sounds simple. But I want you to look at it again. And see where was the singers, where was the praise people? Where was the people who was praising the Lord? Were they at the back? Were they in the middle? Or were they in the front? If you were in a war, you would put your best soldiers in the front. America is going to hit someplace. They send the Marines in, the big artilleries, the big fighter jets. You send the best in front. Now when you look back at that again and see where the singers were in the front. The praise band was in the front. And all the big soldiers was in the back, just kind of walking. Battle is not ours. The singers were doing all the work. The praise people were doing all the work. They were praising the Lord. They were preparing the way. And as they were praising the Lord, look what happens. That they should, okay, praise the Lord For his mercy endureth forever, verse 22. And when they began, and when they finished, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set an ambushment against the children of Ammon. That's why I tell you tonight, don't wait for the battle to be over. Don't wait for the message to be over, but give God praise. Don't wait to hear what you came to listen to or what you wanted to hear. Before you hear anything, before you do anything, before you say anything, give God praise. And before they saw the results, they were praising the Lord. But we have a mentality, myself included, where, well, I got to see it first to believe it. I mean, unless I don't go to the doctor and say, I think you're healed from that cancer, then I want to praise the Lord. Before I could hear, well, you know, the economy is going bad, but I still have a job. Even while I don't have a job, I should be praising the Lord. But we started off tonight saying, God is good all the time. And all the time He is good. But do our life represents that? But when we pick up the paper and we hear about the stock market, or we hear about the problem here, problems there, all of a sudden, you get discouraged and dismayed. I start fearing. And as they began to sing, to praise the Lord, an ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab. And then what happened? One army started fighting the next one, and they killed them out. And the next army fight the next one. And I don't know how they do it, but they all die. And maybe who didn't die ran. And it says in verse 24, and when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Somebody should say amen. When you think of the power of God, that while they were just singing and praying, because they had started by fasting and they heard a word from God, they were just obedient. And though the enemy looked like it was going to destroy them, they trust God. They believed. And when they believed, they received. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewel, which was stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil. So much. They not only got the enemy to not to destroy them, but they got all the enemy had. Now they were peaceful and quiet. They wasn't looking for anything. But the enemy came. And they came to God. And now they had riches untold. They wasn't even expecting anything in the first place before the problem came. And sometimes the problem comes so we could come to God so He could give us a greater blessing than staying in the hole we are. No, we just stay in this hole and be quiet. We're not going to say anything. We hope nobody comes and attack us. But when the attack came, it brought them back to God. And when it brought them back to God, they were even wealthier physically and spiritually after the attack. And why was this all done? Why was this all done? I'll tell you why this was all done. Verse 29. And the fear of God was upon all the kingdoms of those country when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemy. All that we get, all the blessings we get, it is only a part. You know what is the whole? That God could be glorified. God wants to be glorified. God wants us to give Him praise so that others could hear the God we serve. But if we stay quiet and just get all the things He gave us, He never gets any praise. He never gets any glory. And then we wonder, where is God? Kind of like Santa Claus, just come once a year and bring a big bag of toys. That's the kind of mentality we have of God. But no praise, no glory for Him. So I want to close now, but as I close now, some of you had an opportunity to praise God before. You have an opportunity now to praise Him again. No matter what you may be going through right now, there's a breakthrough. God has already put things in place, but He wants you to open your mouth and praise Him. You might have worshipped Him early on in your quiet time. Now He wants you to praise Him. If you didn't before, or you felt an urge to praise Him again, the mic is available. Now I want you to think of one thing. Don't talk about me, because it's not about me. It's not about the church. To Him be the glory and praise. And He wants to hear your mouth open, and He wants to receive praise from you. So I have some of you have a little bit more time, so the mic is available if you want to get up. Give God praise. Don't wait for the situation to change. Don't wait for the victory to come. The victory is in the praise. So,